It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from Twin Peaks off I-10 in Kirkwood. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
Yes, indeed. We are live from Twin Peaks on Katy Freeway. It's I-10 in Kirkwood. If you need that address, 11 or 11335,
yes.
Katy Freeway. I know what I'm talking about, right? There we go. We're having a blast out here. I just put in an order of some wings, and let me tell you,
you're darn right,
those grilled smoked wings, they do something to them.
Hey, Texas cheesesteak is dang near elite. I've never had it
That's
here
what you
before.
Had?
I've never had it here before. The Texas cheesesteak? Man.
Yeah, so swing by. We got one more hour on the program, and that means you got one more hour to swing by this location. Sign up for the possibility to win Will Anderson, H-Town Edition jersey.
Yes, sir.
Jalen Petrie football, Christian Harris helmet, or, you know, maybe some tickets. Some tickets for Saturday. You want to come in.
And a Reggie Atitula autograph.
Yeah, I can do that for you. No problem.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be worth the damn, but I'll do that for
you
for sure.
You never know.
But yeah, we're excited. It's an exciting time for the Texans, and we have shown that we, as a show, are super excited. But it's worth, you know, being self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth taking a second to look at it. And so are we being drinking the Kool-Aid a little too much?
Yeah, I became a little self-aware this morning when we were talking about the show today. A lot of people know this. It's not like I'm like, whatever, negative or whatever. I'm not a big drink the Kool-Aid kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to be very honest about what's happening, what I see, what I think, and just go with it, you know, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. But I kind of feel like I'm trying to find the warts on this team, and I'm like, there ain't a lot. I mean, there's some questions, but there ain't a lot of warts. So I was asking you, like, it's just not me, but am I guzzling the Kool-Aid too much? And the reason I asked that is, like, any other Texans team,
yeah,
especially, that starts two rookies in the secondary,
yep,
I would be worried.
Because we're
I'm
looking
not.
At, obviously, Kamari Lassiter and then...
And Kalen Bullock. And yet I'm not. And so I'm kind of like, all right, what am I not seeing here? But I think what's going on is there's so much confidence in what I've seen them do on the field at practices and training camp and
right.
in the preseason. And D'Amico Ryans, I'm kind of like, cool. two rookies in the secondary, no big deal.
Yeah, I think some of it also is just like we are working off of that intrinsic trust that you have already established in D'Amico Ryans' capability.
Yeah.
He's got bona fides already, even as a third-year
mm-hmm.
head coach. Like that's wild to consider.
Yeah.
On top of that, the reason why, and I know for me, I'm fairly positive because, look, man, I'm descending on this upon this team. Now, I've tried to watch it as closely as I can from afar because this has been a team of intrigue if you are a football fan all the way across. But when you take a 30,000-foot view on teams, I think you end up being more general. And when you're general with this team, it's easy to see the positive.
Yeah.
Great young quarterback. Talented, I guess skill positions. Although I always am hesitant to use that word because them big boys in the trenches—they're
pretty skilled.
They got some skill to them, man. Really talented skill position. You've got, you know, potential defensive player of the year type defensive talent.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about, obviously, Stingley is coming to that place. Will Anderson is an incredible defensive pass rusher. Daniil Hunter has been in those type of category. So, like, you have all those things, and it's like there's clearly things to be positive about. And so that's my general disposition. But then also, man,
once you dig into the weeds, there's some what should be questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. It's when you get the closer view when you go, okay, but here are the issues.
Yeah.
Right? You know all the good things. Here are the issues. The reason why I'm a little hesitant, and you guys let us know again, 713-572-4610. Are we drinking too much of the Kool-Aid. The reason why I'm hesitant to say that we are like definitively taking too much, drinking too much of the Kool-Aid, is a lot of the other folks,
yes,
the national folks, but then a lot of the folks that, you know, cover football, they look at this team and they have some of the same, you know, positive vibes about it, mm-hmm, as evidenced by Diana Russini. Mm-hmm. Diana Russini, she works for The Athletic. She hosts the Scoop City podcast and, of course, longtime NFL reporter, national reporter. She was on Dan Patrick's show.
Yeah.
And Dan Patrick, they asked her about, you know, maybe the training camp, as you know, she's been visiting a lot of training camps. The training camp that she's visited that, you know, she was a little bit a little bit disappointed in, and she ultimately said the Cleveland Browns, right?
Yeah.
But then she decided to try and add to that, and I believe this is Cut 11, Figgy, that she actually wanted to go to the positive side of things.
Yeah.
The question I would have preferred was, what's the camp I went to where I went, oh, wow, and that was the Houston Texans. Holy cow. I knew they were good when I showed up. I left. Like, and look, I went on a day that everyone told me CJ was unbelievable. But I just was watching going, who is going to
So you're
to
all
stop?
In. They're a Super Bowl contender.
I am all in on the Houston Texans, just okay, based on what they're building. Okay, something even simple and small. This is tiny, but this is important. And it's been told to me by many people. It's important in the big grand scheme of things. When they make good plays during the preseason, when guys are scoring touchdowns, backups, players that we may never even see again in the NFL. The way the sideline, the way the starters are running down into the end zone and showing that support. Because what that is, that's culture, right? That's DeMeco Ryans. That's him saying, we are going to be there for everybody on this team, not just the superstars. And I felt it when I was there. I had conversations.
All of that.
That's positivity.
All of that.
That's a lot of positivity.
Yeah. I mean, the emphasis she put on, oh, wow.
Yeah. like,
that's no. I was going to say been around the block. That's not what I mean.
Wow.
Diana Russini has been, well, that's still not good. Diana Russini's covered a lot of football, and she knows a lot of football, and she knows great teams. And she just came out of here, like, unsolicited. Not only unsolicited, she brought it up. Contrary to what the question even was,
yeah,
you know. Hey, let's talk about the Houston Texans because they got something really, really good going on now.
Right. And
you know?
So, like, this is one, but I mean, I was looking at, I believe, The Ringer. Mm-hmm. They were talking about things and how will every offense perform in 2024 was the piece that I was reading by Shil Kapadia.
Yeah.
Does good work as well around the NFL. Number one, he likes the Green Bay Packers. Number two, he likes this Houston Texans offense.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and you can go around in various publications and types of things and see the Texans getting a lot of love. And so I understand that, again, 30,000-foot view, it's easy to like this team, but
yeah,
I think that that's the place that we exist in. Mm-hmm. Now, are there concerns? Yes, because you're in a salary cap sport, and that salary cap is there to try and create that level of parity, and they do that by making sure that no team is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Everyone is going to have some level of wart or some level of weakness to try and balance this out. So you can look at the idea that, okay, as someone texted in on the text line, run game and run defense are a concern. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm glad they did that because that's kind of where I'm like questioning,
sure,
myself. Am I drinking too much Kool-Aid? I talked about two rookies potentially starting in the secondary. There is one proven running back.
Sure.
One.
And you haven't seen him yet with
and
this.
Until today, I really haven't seen him in pads.
Yeah.
So that's another situation where any other season, any other team, any other environment, I'd be like, oh, that's going to be a problem. I'm not really feeling that's going to be a big problem. Like Cam Akers has shown enough. You can maybe get a good, you know, a good feel for there, a good backup. Look, there are in the weeds type questions, but I guess because of everything else, you don't really, you know, put as much stock into it.
Yeah, and so look, I still feel very positive, but I want to take that step back, especially because as we talk all the positivity, you heard Dan Patrick ask Diana Russini, hey, to the terms of, like, Super Bowl contender, and it didn't, I don't know that she sounded like she was like,
she said,
yes,
I'm all
absolutely,
in. Yeah,
but she did
yeah.
say she was all in, which leads me to believe
yeah.
that she did mean yes to the point of being, like, Super Bowl contender. The one thing that, like, kind of stops that makes me go, okay, maybe we're doing a little too much, all of the predictors, right, mm-hmm. when it comes to these things, all the predictors when you talk about what's the record going to be. You look at Vegas, I think the number is 9.5. I saw various, I'm trying to remember what publication put one out, just kind of doing a analytical through their formulas or what have you, and they gave it like a 9.8 wins is what they figured. You're seeing a lot of 9-10 wins still, which you don't think inherently is a Super Bowl team, but like again, that's the one thing where I go, okay, are we getting a little too over our skis? Because we may be talking about them like they're a 12 or 13 game team, but it seems like folks are still putting them in that 9-10 range, well, at least looking at the schedule.
I actually think that's kind of a compliment.
Okay.
And the reason is this might be the toughest schedule the Texans have ever had. Like, ever. They've had first-place schedules before, but, you know, we're talking Green Bay and Jordan Love, Indianapolis Colts, you know, who knows, I think they're going to be a threat. Jets, Aaron Rodgers, Detroit, Goff, Dallas, Dak, Miami, Tua, Kansas City, Mahomes, Baltimore, with Lamar Jackson. They've got some quarterbacks they're facing. So if you're going to tell me they're going to win 10 games with that schedule, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
You know?
And still, like, we didn't get a chance to really dig into it, but this division is going to be interesting. But I also don't know that I could put any of these other teams where I feel confident that they get 10 wins.
Yeah.
And so if you go into the playoffs, and of course now we're really ahead of ourselves, but if you go into the playoffs as a division winner, you still have a good shot of doing something special. And so, yeah, man, maybe we are, right? Like, mm-hmm. ultimately, maybe I go to the place where I go, maybe we are, mm-hmm. maybe getting a little too ahead of ourselves in some ways, but one, it's a time of year to do it, and two, it's not like we're doing this out of thin air. There's good reason from what you look at when you talk about training camp and practices in these games, and just like the bona fides of the players that you even brought in.
Yeah.
There's reasons to think the way that we are right
and
now.
And there's validation. It's not like some fan that has only read a couple of things online but is excited saying, oh, yeah, they're going to win a Super Bowl, or they should be a contender. No, it's people that are in camp, in every camp around the NFL, and can compare and contrast.
Right.
And they're like, nah, man, the Texans are real. That's the validation you get from the things that I'm seeing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So, like, maybe we are drinking too much of the Kool-Aid, but as of right now, it tastes good. And honestly, imagine, right, take yourself back a year ago. I'm interested, John, how were you feeling at that time? Because, again, I mentioned like an hour ago the idea of everybody was laughing at the Texans for trading away that first-round pick in the next year because they thought that this team would be the worst of the worst, and it turned out, no, this is a pretty good team.
No, it's a very good team.
Right? And so how did you feel in that moment? Because I don't know that you were – did you feel like you were drinking the Kool-Aid?
No. No, that's why this is so interesting to me how I'm playing it here. Because, like, obviously we didn't know. We liked what we saw, but we didn't know about C.J. Stroud. But go well beyond that. I mean, you know, clearly you talk about some of the receivers that were – Nico hadn't done Nico things. You know, Tank Dell was a rookie. He looked very, very impressive, but he was a rookie. No, not even close to how we're feeling here. And if you want to go back a little further, and we mentioned this a little bit earlier, like from where they were, you know, two seasons ago to now, it's one of the most remarkable turnarounds that you'll ever see in terms of just perception within the league,
right?
You know?
All right, look, maybe we're drinking the Kool-Aid, maybe we're not, but look, I'm excited for a fun season of Texans football, and you should be excited for an opportunity to win some things that are associated with Texas football. Come out, hang out with us here, sign up for our giveaways. We're still here till 2 p.m., but coming up next here on In the Loop, we got to get into Figgy's mixtape. Figgy, what we got?
Man, we got different forms of delusion, and I'm going to play some audio and talk about some delusion that I just want to know if I'm in the right place of mind when it comes to delusion or nah.
All right, we got that next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
X.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy Figs Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. Happy hump day to everyone out there. And the theme of this segment is delusion. I've been seeing a lot of delusional people out there on social media.
No kidding.
Probably the last 24 hours. Yeah. And I'm going to just run down the list, man. So,
okay.
Delusional guy number one. I know you guys been seeing this whole flag football debate.
Oh, and yes.
Players, yeah. If NFL players can play in it and all this other stuff. It's a man that been kind of the guy in the front that been talking about this. His name is Darrell Duchette.
Yes.
And he's a quarterback, and he been having some strong words saying, hey, I know y'all athletes, but, hey, this ain't the same. So I got something to say. I've been doing this for a minute. And
yeah. He has. He's the quarterback of the Team USA flag football team. He's been running it for a while. In fact, I think 2018 they did a flag football players versus former NFL players in a flag football game, and the flag football players won. So, like, Seneca Wallace and his boys got out there playing with NFL guys,
Seneca
and they
Wallace.
Lost to him.
I heard that name in a long time.
You're welcome.
Yeah. By the way.
But he has some things to say about so he was talking about Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. He
oh,
did.
No.
He
you
went there.
Pick nobody else.
He went there.
I want to know, is he delusional? Here we go.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
Is my man delusional?
What?
Okay. That's like, I know I'm older. I know I'm a little overweight. I know I'm not the best looking guy in the world. I know I'm not the smartest guy in the world. Where was I going with this?
Right.
That's what I heard. that's what I heard. Like, where was I going with this? No, he's not.
I just, hey man, you got to pick somebody who you're not in a losing battle with. Like, he immediately started with some. Even if somebody wanted to try and hear you out, you made it really difficult by picking Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
I think the dude that drew our guy Hoosh, his nickname is Hoosh, Mr. Duchette. I think that the person that drew his ire was Jalen Hurts. Because Jalen Hurts got out here talking like immediately like he was going to be the dude who would be the quarterback in the Olympics in 28 when flag football came through.
Yeah.
And that made my boy mad because he was out here like, hey, wait, you can't just assume you're going to take my job. You're going to have to get out here and earn it.
Yeah.
If he has that same statement, but he says Jalen Hurts, do you think that works a little bit better? Because
no.
I think that goes over.
I mean, maybe it does for some. It wouldn't for me. And here's why. Like, I'm pretty good at pickleball. I'm pretty good. I'm not great, but I'm pretty good.
You think?
Because I know the angles. I know how to do it.
You tearing up Rafa Nadal?
I'm not going to sit here and say I'm better at pickleball than Patrick Mahomes, because if Patrick Mahomes just learned a little bit of what I know, he would kick my ass. So that's what he's saying. Yes, he's good at flag football because he knows how to play flag football. You know, there are certain intricacies of the game that are you know, unique to flag football. How you play the game, where you go, et cetera. So as soon as Patrick Mahomes, give him a week. Give him a week, and he'll kick
all
your
right.
ass.
You might be being a little disrespectful.
No, give him a week. Give him a week, he'll kick your ass.
Yeah, I kind of understand where the guy's coming from, because a lot of people assume that anybody that play in the NFL could just be good in flag football. And I understand that's not the case.
But exactly.
You can't call out Patrick Mahomes like that, man. That's
right.
That's like people. So in the Olympics, they had the 3-on-3 basketball. That's like somebody playing in the 3-on-3 basketball saying, you know what? Yeah, Michael
Jordan. Timber Fred's like, yeah, I got Bron.
Yeah.
I'm like, better than Bron. He can't get this 3-on-3.
Yeah, man. Like, I know it's a different game, but sometimes some athletes can just do anything. I put Patrick Mahomes in that category. If he can get a week or two, he can be a beast.
Yeah, man. Help yourself out,
a
man.
A week. Give him a week.
Help yourself out. Don't go after the dude that is like, there's so many people that you can find a debate on, like, who, if they're good or not. Patrick Mahomes is one of the few things in, honestly, American life that we all have largely come up with the consensus on that we're like, no, we agree, right?
Yeah.
There's not very many things in American life that we're like, we agree across many different lines.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes is one of those things. He was like, nah, better than that.
I'm better
than
that.
What are you doing?
I'm better than that.
My IQ in flag football is better than Patrick Mahomes. Yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, he's like, all right.
What are you doing?
Give him a week.
So my man is delusional, right?
100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so I'm going to go to my man number two. So I seen this. So this video is a couple years old. This is from Undisputed with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. Rest in peace of that show. But this clip was so funny to me because sometimes, you know, Skip Bayless, he could be a little delusional at times. So he was sitting there pretty much with a NFL Hall of Famer, a Super Bowl champ, pretty much telling them, you don't know what you're talking about in this game. Here's Undisputed right now.
If you look at the Christian Kirk first touchdown when they pitch it, D-Lo has contained. Can I get that, Skip? I want you to show. I want to show this. Pull this up for me. Why is he inside? He has contained.
How do you know that? I think you can't know that. Seriously, I think you can't know that unless you interview those people and find out what the defense called.
Let me tell you what.
You never know. I know this because I've been doing it for a long time. And back in the day, somebody could come to me and say, you have no idea what defense got called there. Just for the record.
Skip Bayless, are you telling me my 14 years of playing this game?
I'm saying you never know. I tell you what to do.
I tell you what to do. If I'm lying, if any Cowboy player says, Shannon Sharp, you don't know what the hell you talk about, write it.
Okay, write it. You don't know. You can't know.
Skip, what is
you just can't
Skip,
know. You can't
up,
know.
Skip, you're upset. You want Mike Nolan gone. I know what they're doing is wrong. You can't tell me. You coming in. I was in the huddle.
Okay.
I was in the locker room.
Yeah.
I was in the meeting room.
You weren't in this.
They are wrong.
You were not in this huddle and you weren't in this
meeting room. I know that defense.
You just, Shannon, you were not.
I know that defense.
You do not know that defense. You have no idea what got called.
Oh, my goodness.
Is my man Skip Bayless delusional right now? Just going back and forth with a 14-year vet of the NFL who's a Hall of Famer, who won a Super Bowl. Is my man delusional right now?
The short answer is yes, but I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, it's amazing that show didn't work out. You know,
actually, that was pure entertainment. Honestly, I have forgotten how much I missed hearing Shannon Sharp yell, Skip! He's kind of not wrong, though.
No. Like, he has a point.
He has a point, but he is wrong. I think that there
but
you go.
Short of seeing the play, it was probably just some basic, you got to contain.
Right.
You know, and Shannon was probably there. I ain't never been on a team where you didn't contain there.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
The knowledge base was such. Yeah, I mean.
Because if he was talking to most anyone else, I think that the point would have been able to land a little bit better, which is, you don't know what the play call is. Sometimes there are different designs that we may not be able to tell. And that's something that we always have to be careful about when we are armchair QBing and evaluating these things.
No, his concept of his point was right.
I wouldn't have went that hard at Shannon Sharp about it, though.
But, like, if I'm just thinking, if it was that obvious and Shannon's like, come on, that's... You give it to Shannon.
Yeah.
You
know,
you give it to Shannon.
Me being the person that's like, I don't like calling people out on their jobs or anything like that. We work around a whole bunch of people that played in the NFL. If they telling me that, no, this was the play, I remember seeing this. I've been in the game for this amount of years.
Yeah. You're saying
I'm
cool.
I'm going to take a back seat.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a back seat.
Right.
But Skip Bayless was like, you don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know. You don't know. And the thing about it is, like, I think in that instance, yes, the point is that he might not know absolutely, but he might know 95%. And 95% exactly. is good enough in this circumstance for our service.
Exactly.
You know? So, we can go ahead and put Skip Bayless in the delusional pile as well.
All right. Delusional guy number three. And I'm sure this one actually has some local ties to it. And if you wasn't on social media, you missed a lot because, in case you didn't know, Cal Manier did a AMA on Reddit.
Yes, he did.
Pretty much asked me anything, and it's always pretty cool when you do stuff like that. But a Titans fan, pretty much, who runs a podcast. I ain't gonna say the name of the podcast. It ain't worth it.
Yeah, they don't need that burn. Yeah,
yeah. But this person that runs this podcast page for the Tennessee Titans, pretty much retweeted the picture of Cal with the football and all that stuff, and the caption said, "H is up, H town." I know you guys heard that term before, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
H is up, H town. So this guy retweeted that and said, "Look at this. So many Texans fans cry about the Titans still in coaching, telling Titans fans for years that Titan up is the worst slogan in football. Yet, here are the Houston copycats once again using H is up. You mean like Titan up? For a team and the fan base that cries about culture stealing so much, just to be Kansas City name using Titan colors wannabe, generic looking Atlanta Falcons H's up sounding ass franchise. Does the Texans franchise ever come up with anything on their own?"
He did start to try and cook there a little bit, I'm not going to lie. However, let me get this right. Is he trying to claim, or they? I don't know who. Are they trying to claim that the word up has been claimed by the Titans?
Or it sounds like different.
Like, you cannot use the word up or else the Titans will come for you?
At least H is up has an actual visual. Like, H is up.
Yeah, you put the H up. Yeah.
What is Titan up?
I have no idea.
It's a song by Archie Bell and the Drills. Yeah. It's actually very good. I think that you should listen to it.
And this is about as delusional as you can get.
Yeah, that's wild. Wasn't nobody talking to you right now?
Yeah.
Word. That's right. And look, we've been having the whole back and forth about the uniforms and the Oilers and stuff like that. And I ain't going to lie. Look, I feel like when they talk about the uniforms and the players and stuff, that is theirs. Technically, that's theirs. So I ain't got no pushback to that. That's technically that franchise. But let's not take it this far, y'all.
Yeah, let's
like,
not go
so
there.
So you ain't create the word up. So if that's the case, so George Jefferson moving on up, that's y'all.
Yeah, that's where it started.
Cardi B is up. Cardi B, if it's up, then it's stuck. That, yes. They take it from
Titan. That's where it started,
up.
Baby.
Man, this got to be the most delusional fan base I've seen. And I don't like to call out a whole fan base. But Titan up, you think we think the city of Houston was sitting here like, ooh, Titan up. You know what? Let's use H's up. Let's take that from the Houston, from the Titans.
Yeah.
Give me a break. That was so delusional, man.
I agree.
That's a stretch, man. That's too much of a stretch, brother.
That's all I got.
H is up,
man.
H is up.
Tighten up. And what's funny is I actually like Tighten Up. I feel like that's a cool little hashtag.
I'm old enough to remember the dance, the Tighten Up.
Absolutely.
I may have danced the Tighten Up.
Oh, I need video of that.
At some point.
Because there's other teams that do various ups. I like don't the Chargers do like Bolt Up or something like that?
I don't know if that's I don't know, but there are others.
Yeah. They didn't invent that. All right. So that guy was Stretch Armstrong trying to get something out of that, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, delusional number three. Did we go 3 for 3 on delusions?
We did.
We sure did.
Yeah.
It was a delusional 24 hours, man.
We got a. Do we have like an outro on Figgy's mixtape? Are we good here?
I'm actually looking at videos of the Titan Up from back in the day.
Archie Bell and the Drills. I love that song so very much.
I'm a big fan
from Houston, Texas.
I didn't know that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay,
but man, this city has given so much culture to the world. Mm-hmm. You're welcome, world.
Yeah, Figgy Smith's tape every day at 1:20 at this time, and I will talk to y'all tomorrow.
There you go, Figgy's mixtape.
Are you leaving?
Must listen. Must listen right here on Sports Radio 610.
Figgy's gone.
You're in the loop. Peace. Coming up next, baseball is on the TVs here. We're at Twin Peaks, and Verlander is on the mound. But just in a more general sense, are you enjoying baseball, or are you enjoying watching baseball as much as you have in the past? Because there's some numbers that maybe could lean into that idea. We'll discuss it next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from Twin Peaks off I-10 in Kirkwood. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
Appreciate you hanging out with us all day long in the loop. Sports Radio 610. John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atitula.
I'm here for you, buddy.
Figgy Fig. We just got through Figgy's mixtape. Enjoyed that quite a bit. Just a little bit more time for you to come and hang out with us. 11335 Katy Freeway.
You like that.
I do. I put a little time in remembering what the address was, so I should probably use that. But Twin Peaks, always here for you with eats, drinks, and scenic views. And on the TVs, a lot of the TVs, big TVs all around here. Astros baseball happening. Currently down 2-1 to the Red Sox. Verlander throwing a lot of pitches.
About 43, 44 through two innings.
What did Spo give us as a potential top end, 50, 75 rather?
I think so. Well, I think he really, and I agreed with this, give me four innings. And four innings might be about the max right now.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. He's currently trying to get through the second.
It's all good. They're only down 2-1.
He already got through the top of the second.
Yeah.
So, they're only down 2-1. You saw Bregman in his return from his little elbow thing, sent 1 yard, so that's good.
Picked up where he left off.
And so, yeah, the Astros down 2-1. So, in the individual, obviously, this is exciting baseball to watch. And especially this stretch that the Astros have been on, really finding their bats, finding their stride again, and getting a lot of wins, giving themselves a nice gap in the AL West, which is funny because you think about it, and there was a time where they were down 10 games, and now they have the possibility to probably be the first team to clinch their division, obviously in part or in large part, because the rest of the division is boo-boo.
Yeah.
But, that's such a wild turnaround. So it's been fun watching this Astros team as, like, an individual. However, I have a question. Like, are you enjoying watching baseball in general?
And look, okay, so we are so much of an outlier in Houston, or as Astros fans, wherever you are, because what they've done has just made this city watch everything. I mean, you have to watch the Astros. Like, it's just a must.
Yeah.
Because of the last 7 years. That is not the norm around the country. Hell, even in the Metroplex, like, they won the World Series.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you that place doesn't get full. I guarantee you their TV ratings are not quite the same.
For sure.
And the buzz around town, well, of course, it's Cowboys town, but last I heard anyway, it's a Cowboys town. That might be changing. But anyway, like, forget the Rangers even. Like, in most baseball cities, it's like it's a pastime. It's what they say it is. It's a national pastime. Hey, you want to go catch a ball game? Yeah, sure. Hey, how'd the team do last night? I don't know. I didn't watch. So it's like one of those things where it's a mood. You know, you want to watch baseball. It's not top of mind. Whereas we consume the NFL and college football. Like, we have to consume it.
And especially, like, as a national product. It's funny because baseball, my personal belief is baseball worked best as a regional product. It's why we have 162 games.
Yeah.
Because you follow your team, and you learn a little bit about most of the teams around the league through following your team.
Exactly.
And it works regionally. But now baseball, and understanding the world that we live in, trying to make itself more of a national sport, I'm wondering how well that's going to fare, because we're seeing some interesting trends in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
MLB is seeing that offense is down this season, but not just the season. Like, it feels
it's
like
trending.
It's trending downwards. That's right. And it feels like that trend is, as opposed to maybe just being a blip on the radar, as sometimes happens in any sport, there's going to be fluctuations up or down. This might be a closer to, like, a new reality. And I'm wondering, like, is that allowing people to enjoy watching baseball as much as they previously had? Because it is particularly offense, and it's not just batting percentages, right? When we think about the change of swing angles and those types of things, as people are trying to go for the fences as opposed to maybe put the ball in play.
Mm-hmm.
Average is down, but then also power is down as well. And those numbers are somewhat mirrored as well by the Astros. You're seeing that same thing happen with the Astros as you're seeing on the larger scale. The Astros still seem to be able to put up runs, at least in this stretch. We've seen that go back. But, like, are you enjoying baseball in general? Because I feel like this trend might change the level of enjoyment possible. Baseball is a game that isn't the most exciting and flashy, and you need that offense periodically to make it to give you that entry.
I think it's not being enjoyed. And I'm being honest, I don't enjoy watching any national games. I used to be plugged into the national games.
Sunday night baseball.
Oh, I used to be plugged in. But here's why. Like, you have to, I said all that about the Astros to basically say set them aside.
Yeah.
Like set the Astros aside. They're like the Iowa women's basketball of this league.
I feel you.
You know what I mean? Like the Iowa women's basketball fills up their stadium. Everybody's plugged in. Can't miss a game. That ain't how women's college basketball is. The reality is, like, national baseball is not as interesting as it used to be. It's just not. I think there are ways to repair that. I think they're working on ways to repair that. But you're fooling yourself if you think, boy, this is an interesting product, when all you're watching is NFL, college football, college basketball, NBA, some of these, you know, these unique sports that are kind of taking over on our televisions and stuff, extreme sports, all that stuff. That's not interesting to, by and large, to most Americans. Baseball is not as interesting, by and large, to most Americans.
All right, let me go back to this, because do you agree with the premise that, like, baseball needs offense at as much as possible to be interesting? Because that ended up being a big thing in the last decade or two about baseball, was because it felt like, for a lot of purists, that baseball gave its soul up in order to establish and substantiate that offense, that offensive uptick that you saw in the steroids era and immediately thereafter.
Yeah.
But now you're getting to an era where you're seeing that offense kind of decrease. And I know that for, like, a purist or somebody that, like, loves the game, that hit that pitcher hitter kind of interaction of what is the sequence, are you challenging him, what are you throwing him, like, all those things matter. But I feel like for the average viewer, that's not where you tap into baseball. You tap into baseball on the base paths.
Yeah, I think speed, excitement, all that stuff. Because, you know, they for a while there, before they went back and kind of, manipulated the shift and all that stuff and pitch clocks, it was a home run game that was boring. Mm. Like it was home runs and strikeouts. It was home runs and strikeouts, and that's about it. And there was a lot of scoring. And when you see it, you're like, oh, that must be an exciting game. No, it really wasn't fun to watch. I mean, unless you're the Astros. Again, set them apart, because they're in a different category. But I just feel like baseball on a national scale is maybe never going to be what it once was, because the competition is so strong, and it's just not an interesting product for the generations that are coming up. Now, I said maybe there's some things that they can do to fix that. I think, and I mentioned this earlier, I think they should take a cue from the NBA. And when you're cheering for that American flag, man, you start learning everything you can about the players and the game and everything else.
Oh, you're back to this Olympic thing.
I think that's one of the solutions, or at least to help become a solution.
And you know what? Like, I understand the idea of trying to find time in the middle of a season, because it's a summer league. Are you going to be able to find time in that summer to allow for the summer games, or for players to go exist in the summer games? And I think the schedule would be impossible if you're doing 162 games. Where you get interesting is if you're willing to pare back on games. And I do wonder if paring back on games is just something that would be necessary for baseball in general when
I
we
think
talk
they need
about
it.
But I just don't know how you do that, because that's inventory. And the inventory is what helps them generate the money that they have when they sell to these TV products as well, because you have things that you have more and more advertising, avenues for these TV stations or whatever that are buying your product. If you're selling them 20 fewer games, does that then per team, right? Does that then cut into your
There is a way to do it. Because if they can suspend the season for a month and put their best players in the Olympics, the entire country is going to be so plugged into USA Baseball. Just take a cue from the NBA. Like, it changed the way people look at the individuals and the game and where these teams, these players are coming from. et cetera. Like, just don't have an all-star weekend one year, the Olympic year, and extend it by 2 or 3 weeks.
Oof.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
And maybe extend the season. It's worth it. But even just setting that aside, you know, baseball does have some issues in terms of just being interesting on a national scale.
And I want to be careful to not go too far on this. Baseball still exists in a pretty big place, right? They still generate a good amount of money. Like, they're on par with the NBA exactly when it still comes to, like, making money. So I don't want to make it – I don't want to
we're not
veer
saying
into this place. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think that they have something interesting that they're having to contend with, and you know that they're actually contending with it because you've seen the ways that baseball has tried to make itself more relevant. And I appreciate, like, some of the new change that they've had to try and speed up the game and maybe – and, you know, get folks back on the base paths I was talking about with, technically a safety measure, but maybe something that helps when you make the sizes of the bags bigger.
Yeah.
I just don't know when it comes to the actual, like, hitting portion of this, which is the thing that we're talking about, the trend down in hitting that we're seeing over baseball. I don't know that there's rules that you can do to incentivize hitting to get back. Like, there's definitely ways you can incentivize various things, and we know that they're trying to get trying to incentivize starting pitchers longer with that rule that's being floated out there of possibly making.
I kind of like that
six.
Actually.
Like the idea of like a starter having to play six innings?
At first, I didn't because I was looking for all the exceptions. Oh, what if he gets hurt? What if he gets rocked? You know, what if this or that? And they have some things, you know, safeguards, if you will, for those things, and. I think it'd be pretty interesting, and you hit it. Like, not only do I think, and you think, and a lot of people think that baseball might not be as relevant in terms of entertainment value. It's still relevant. I'm with you. Let's not try to send the wrong message here.
Right.
But it's relevant in terms of interest, especially for newer generations. I'm with you that it's definitely hurting there. But they're telling us it's hurting there. They've changed rules. They've implemented a pitch clock. They've brought in the shift rules. They're talking about a starting pitcher having to go six innings just so they can have more of an identity, with starting pitchers and more old school, interesting baseball. So it's not just you and I saying, boy, it's not what it used to be in terms of entertainment value for the masses. They're telling us that.
Right. Well, thankfully, at least you started us out by kind of separating the rest of the league away from the Astros, and the Astros have been damn fun to continue to watch throughout this. Verlander just getting out of the third, so he's making his way through this, man. Like, thankfully, he's seeming like he will give us the four.
What do they call it? Battling.
Battling.
He's battling
for sure. From the 346 on the text line, they said, I think you're absolutely correct, Lopez. For all the Fairweather fans that come around in October, they really don't have any interest in the regular season baseball. Fairweather fans, it can be boring during the regular season. The Olympics would be a great idea because we know Japan, Puerto Rico, and there's a lot of competitive countries.
Yeah.
And you've got a little bit of that effect with the World Baseball Classic, but here's my thing about, and I think this is where you're right, where the Olympics differs from the World Baseball Classic. World Baseball Classic is a lot more niche.
Oh, big
You're in on it if you're in on baseball. The Olympics is, I like to call it sports for folks that don't like sports. And so everybody comes to the table, and then when they're here, they get a little bit of all these things, and maybe baseball can bring some more folks back to what has always been America's
pastime.
You
want to see Major League Baseball players play Cuba in the Olympics?
Sure.
Hell yeah, I do.
Sure.
Sign me up.
Yeah, you get an opportunity to see Yordan do something in a different perspective as well.
Yeah,
terrorize America right back. That'd be hilarious. So there you go, man. I found that interesting because those numbers would seem to indicate that we're in a place where offense is indeed going down in this thing. So there you go. Let's welcome in our fellas from The Drive. Clint, Ron, how y'all doing today, fellas?
Fellas.
What if we wasn't ready to be welcomed in yet?
You weren't ready?
My bad. You want me to go back? You want me to talk about something else?
We're good, man. Y'all having a good time out there? Y'all have one of our favorite spots now.
Oh, no, buddy, we are having a blast. Good eats. We ain't drink nothing, though.
We're teetotalers today, or water in my case. I will say this, fellas. Y'all are the kings of Twin Peaks. You ain't never had camera angles like we've had camera angles.
Mm-hmm.
Just read the text board.
Oh, yeah, that's the key, baby. You got background?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yep. Background music.
We've got some. All I know is we've got some listeners that are absolute pigs.
Oh, I know you got one. I know Ocho is back there trying to get you to position the camera a certain way.
Pigs.
Hey, Ryan, can you position that camera out just a little bit better? There's a little chocolate magic walking behind you. I need to see. Nasty.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we also saw out here was that we were talking to our guy Scott, right? And our guy Scott has a really sweet Jeep out here in the Love You Blue, got the logos and everything on it. And that got us asking, like, what's the old school thing that you still do?
I use North, South, East, and West.
Right? Like, I still will prefer to go pick things up in store as opposed to get them mailed and all that type of stuff. Yeah. And some people are using cash. Do you fellas have something that's like, oh, yeah, I still do this, and that's old school?
I got a bunch of them because I'm old.
I got a bunch of them.
I prefer writing things down on a piece of paper with a pen versus taking notes in my phone.
I could see that.
I do prefer. In fact, I ain't gonna lie to you. My wife annoys me a little bit with the HEB scheduled pickups. I like to go in the grocery store and pick things up and make sure.
100%.
My man.
I mean, 100%. I'm 46. Hell, I can rattle off a few up.
Yeah, Ron, what you got for me?
I check all the eggs. I've been there for about 5 minutes, and I've gone through several.
Add that to the list of things I can't do because my wife wants to pick them up.
Right. What am I supposed to do if I open up the carton and six of them are cracked?
Ain't nothing.
Me and Figgy. Right. Me and Figgy. Maybe these ain't old school things. Me and Figgy talked about this not too long ago. I make sure I turn off everything when I'm getting gas.
Okay. AC, everything.
I still keep quarters in the Crown Royal bag.
Okay, I like that. I see what you're doing there. That's dirty red.
You don't still eat your boogers, though.
I don't eat my boogers anymore. I did.
Yeah, that took a hard left right there.
I'll be honest about it.
You want me to pick anything up for you before I head back that way?
And days are over for me. You better leave them all there.
Excellent. Well,
buttery nipple.
Hey, okay.
She listening.
Fantastic. But you guys make sure to do some good broadcasting. You're listening to KILT, KILT HD2, and Odyssey Sports Station. And let me tell you, folks, the drive is live.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.